Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And he loves you.
For tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is your truly Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
I'm here.
Praise God. Good to be back on another Thursday night. Truly God is good. It is from the last time we were together to today, and we are grateful for another day's journey, and we thank God for allowing us to be able to get together and study the Word. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And, Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G, we thank God, amen, that we were able to celebrate the retirement of Dr. G on last Saturday. It was a good surprise.
Yeah.
It was so funny to see the look on his face and to hear all the stories about how he was fighting and scratching and kicking not to come. Well, we thank God for the family. We were able to pull it off. He said he was taking names. Of all the people that fooled him. But it was a good time had by all. It was good to see the family and the friends and all the grandkids and the great-grands. And it was a wonderful celebration. And that's what family is all about. And I was sharing with my wife, you know, it's good to be able to get together where we're not just getting together for ongoing services, but we get together and to let people have flowers, smell their flowers while they're living, which is an awesome thing. And just people sharing their faith and what it took to get to that point. And, you know, as we look, you know, in the Word of God and we're studying the book of Acts, it shares the life of the Christian. It shares the life of the story of Christianity and how people have overcome adversity by faith. And, you know, as Dr. G was sharing of how, you know, through his many 50 years of working, that He relied on his faith to help him get it through. And so as we look through the halls of faith in the Bible, we see that there are many people who have lived lives, and, you know, all Paul wanted to do was finish his course and keep the faith and,
right.
and, you know, fight a good fight. And, you know, that's what that reminded me of on Saturday, of truly a good soldier, you know, fighting a good fight and keeping the faith and running it with faith in God. Shield G.
Amen, amen. And we need to share that more often, that we have to fight as a Christian, but we're fighting the devil. We're not fighting flesh and blood. And I think we don't prepare people when they come to Christ, that once you turn your life over to Christ, that Satan is going to be upset, and he's going to come after you, and the devil is real. But if you trust and have faith in God, you may be in an unhappy situation, but you can still have joy, and you can still have peace, and that's what comes from the Lord. And to your point, that was what we saw on Saturday, is we could enjoy him, enjoy his journey, and he didn't, you know, say, oh, it's been a bed of flowers. It's more appreciative of the fact that look where God has brought me. And one of the things that he kept saying is, like, one, to be able to see 70, and two, to be able to walk away from the job and still give God the glory and say that God brought me through. I heard a message this morning where they were saying how the church has done Christians a disservice by making them believe that once they come to Christ, there aren't going to be any more problems, and mm-hmm. the devil is not going to come after you. And she was saying how way back in the day, certain churches didn't even want to talk about the devil. They just want to talk about life so
right,
wonderful.
Right.
No, the devil right. is real. The devil has power. It's just that we have power and authority if we trust in God, so we can stand up to the devil. But you can't stand up to something that you don't recognize is there, and you don't pull in the tools of Bible study, getting together as a congregation, and personal devotions unto the Lord to be able to fight that enemy and still have joy in the midst of the storm.
Amen, amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Sure would. You know, I agree with what Sheila was saying. And I guess that's one of the things that I've always done, especially, you know, during baptism. You know, we let folk know that what you're feeling is a good feeling, but the fight has just begun. And that mm-hmm. is when Satan comes out of the woodwork. He begins to throw everything at you because he knows that if he can pull you back, that is the most vulnerable time to get you. That moment when you first accepted him, you just been baptized, and you could go either way, back out into the world or you stay with Christ. But no, this journey has been a battle, and it's not always easy.
Amen, amen. And that picks us up. We left off in the 24th chapter of the book of Acts, where Paul had just gone round and round with the Jewish leaders, religious leaders, and the governor, the Roman governor at that time, was Felix. And it lets us know that truly there's nothing new under the sun. Felix was trying to get money, and the religious leaders were trying to corrupt and people and stay in power. With the focus not on the people, but the focus was on themselves. And we can mm-hmm. see that today in today's religious leaders and today's political leaders, that the focus is not on the people. It's on themselves. It's on money. And, you know, the Bible teaches that the love of money is the root of all evil, not the money itself, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And so you see the angles that two of these sides are coming in, that Felix was trying to get a bribe, religious leaders were trying to bribe people to lie so that they can stay in power. And it's a struggle. It's a power. It's a money thing. And you see that today in today's society with politicians, famous politicians and famous religious leaders. It's a thing of manipulating the people. You have various cable networks that do the same thing. You have your social media that everything you do on social media, people have algorithms that track you try to put things on your phone or on your laptop or on your tablet or on your computer that will take what you have searched for or looked at and try to bring it up on your device so they can sell something to you. It's like, oh my gosh. It's like you can't get away from it. And so you have to understand that there's nothing new under the sun, and you have to understand, like you were saying, on the battlefield, realize that the devices that the enemy will use on the battlefield to try to get you to lean toward doing the things that are ungodly. And, and as we studied many times in the book of Genesis, the devil appeared to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And he understood that he didn't have to physically make someone bow down, but he could entice them with what he knew that the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life that was there to make them pretty much commit their own suicide, their own downfall, and to tell them enough lies so that they would bow down to him. And the first thing he said, you know, God didn't say that. Like, what? Well, wait, who, what? God didn't say that. And God's holding back on you, you know, and he just doesn't want you to be like him. And, you know, just that same conspiracy theory that we're dealing with today, that same lie, that same manipulation. But if you're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, if you don't know God for yourself, you're not don't have a personal relationship. And as we these last chapters of the book of Acts, Paul will recite his personal relationship with God, the moment he met God and what God had done, and he'll recognize his shortcomings, he'll recognize his sins, and say, "Hey, God's son, Jesus, was the one that was prophesied about. This is the one that knocked me off my high horse on the road to Damascus, the one that I couldn't even see, but I could hear." The one that told me it was rough to kick against the pricks. The one that has changed my heart to the point now, like in his letter to the Romans, he said that he is not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God, not the money, not the religious leaders, not the political leaders, but it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has the power to change the most stoniest heart. Lord have mercy. Paul said, I was the chiefest of sinners, but because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, now he has been made into a follower, a disciple of Christ. And so we have to understand that when we are going into these battles, like you said, Sheila G., that the power is within us, that it is the good news, is the power of God that has redeemed us. We talked about that last time we were together, that it is the power of God that has overcome sin, that has overcome the death and the grave. And when you get that and you understand that, then you can deal with the battles of life. And we talked about that, you know, that what gives you the peace of mind when you're going through these battles. It is the power of God. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will comfort you in the midst of your battle, in the midst of your trial. I know your testimony, when we last got together, Sheila, you said you would just say, so what? What, are they going to fire me? What? It was like, God, take care of the business. And you are a faithful soldier standing on the promises of God because you had a relationship with God and you knew God, and you knew that the tactics of the enemy was going to try to kill, steal, and destroy, but you kept the course, you kept the faith, you continued to strive and this is what the whole purpose of Bible study is about. This is the whole purpose of going to worship. This is the whole service, the purpose of prayer service is to keep us strengthened. The Bible talks about edified or built up, the body of Christ, that we can help edify and build up for the work of the ministry. But if you're not in a place where you can get edified or built up, then you become weak. And then when you become weak, you become easy to manipulate. When you become easy to manipulate, then what happens is you get to a place where you can be used by the enemy. And so many times you see Christian and religious leaders and political leaders get used by the enemy because they're not strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And you really have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might so you don't get manipulated, so you don't get used by the enemy, because the enemy will use anybody. He won't discriminate. He'll use a snake. He'll use a serpent. He'll use a donkey. He'll use whoever to try to persuade us not to obey God. Sheila G.
Amen, amen. And, you know, it makes me think of this. There's two things that I have always said when I'm going through is to pull on my past victories, because I know as the older you get, the more past victories you have. So you know then when you've had to fight against the enemy, that you have gotten that victory. So, but you also know that it's going to come at you again. But in between that time, you have to strengthen and recharge your battery. And one scripture that I've been sharing with people, and we've been sharing in our church lately, is no weapon formed against me shall prosper, meaning that the weapons are there. They're going to form against you, but they're not going to prosper, because I am walking with the Lord. I'm asking God to guide me. I may be on my knees. I may be crying. I may be bleeding, but I have trusted the Lord. He's brought me through. And so that weapon may come at me, but I'm going to be strong enough spiritually, not emotionally, not in my flesh. And that's what happens. A lot of times we want to deal with it with our carnal minds and with our flesh being in our natural state, and we can't do it. And it's we have to tap into that power source. We have to pray. We have to study. A lot of people say, well, we don't need to go to church. Yes, you do, because you need to have that corporate. One, it's in the Bible about the assembling of the saints. But two, that something about the corporate gathering gives you the strength when everybody's on one accord. It was in the first book of Acts where they all came together, giving God the glory, and the Holy Spirit swooshed down. Then you can get that bottle of cream of wheat following you like that old-time commercial. But it's the same thing as far as tapping in to the source of the Holy Spirit and strengthening as if a cell phone. You know, we all got these cell phones now, but it's running, it's doing its thing, you're able to text, call, look things up, but if you don't plug it in and charge it at some point, it's going to die. It's going to get weak, and that is how we are. We are like that cell phone. We have to plug into the power source. How do we do that? Studying God's word, prayer, having our own devotional time, going to church. Those are the things that keep us charged for when the enemy comes at us, so that our battery won't die and that light will continue to shine. And I think we don't, as a church, spread that enough, so people get manipulated by the acts of man, because it's putting things in your mind, because we haven't been plugged into that power source.
Amen, amen. So we look at Acts 24, and the last verse in Acts 24, we see the new governor, and you know, we always talk about for every level there's another devil, but we see Felix pass off the scene, and Festus comes on the scene, and Paul is dealing with one level devil after another. But he's remaining steadfast. And so that last verse, it says, but after 2 years, Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. And if you read that in the NIV, you'll see that it's about money. It's about a bribe, and all these folks about bribes. And I'm going to go to 24, verse 27 in the NIV and read it for you. And it says, when 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. But because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. And so because he wanted to curry favor with the Jews, and he didn't get any money, left Paul in prison. And that's just the way people are when they have no morals. They'll do anything for money. When they don't get their way, they they pitch a fit. They act up, act like they don't have any good sense, and they won't do the right thing because of the money. And so that leads us to Paul's time with Festus. And so if we go to chapter 25, it says, 3 days, after arriving in the province, Festus went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem, where the chief priests and the Jewish leaders appeared before him and presented him the charges against Paul. In other words, 2 years later, Sheila G. and Dr. G., they still coming at Paul.
Still at it, right?
Mm-hmm. two years later, they still coming at Paul. And in other words, the gospel has taken effect and folks are getting saved. And anytime you know that if things are getting too quiet in ministry, that means you're easing up. You're not preaching and teaching the gospel. But if you're preaching and teaching the gospel, folks will act up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
folks will act up. They're gonna act up and they're gonna try to create issues and problems and schisms and isms.
Yep.
So here it is, 2 years later, Paul is still telling them that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He's still preaching the gospel. And so when the new governor comes in, they said, okay, well, we're going to get the new governor. It's sort of like when it's a new pastor. When it's a new pastor, it's like, okay, well, the old one gone, we're the new pastor. We're going to bring all of our 20-year-old grievances to the new pastor. It's like, oh, my God. And all these grievances, and they say, well, it's a new governor, and we're going to bring all of our grievances to the new governor, and as soon as he comes, we want to tell him about how bad Paul is. And so in verse 3, it says, they requested Festus as a favor to them to have Paul transferred to Jerusalem, where they were preparing an ambush to kill him along the way. Oh, my goodness. Somebody say, hate is going to hate. They're going to hate. They're going to try to kill you. They're going to manipulate. They're going to hate. And Paul, the only division he brought between the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees was that one sect didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And Jesus, and Paul said, well, Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, which created a rift between them, which made them look bad in front of the Jews, which said, oh, he's making us look bad. Even though I don't agree with you and you don't agree with me, he's making us both look bad, so let's kill this joker. and so they're still trying to kill Paul, even though he's in prison, even though he's been limited with his mobility. They're still trying to kill him because he's messing up their leadership. Grift is a grift. What it is a grift where they can make money off of bringing these religious leaders, and so they want to bring the political leader in, and they want to offer him a bribe so he can grift off the people. And it's all a big grift. It's all a big sham that they want to say that they're religious, that they love God, they love peace, but the only thing that they love is the love of money,
Sheila and power.
G. Money. Yeah, and power.
And and that's how you know the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, because these are people that had money and power, but they were still intimidated by Paul, who's in jail, house arrest, but still preaching and teaching the gospel. So without the money, without the power, he's still drawing others to Christ. So just because they still didn't get the fact on both sides, the political and the religious sect, that power and money is nothing. It fades away, but the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't contain that. So that's why they wanted to kill him. That's why they're like, he's standing on the word of God. We can't change him, but he still had the Holy Spirit. He has a hold on these people, that their lives are being converted. They're following the Lord and everything we're doing. So let's just kill him again. Thinking manly ways instead of speaking spiritual ways. That's why I always say they're just people. They may think they got a power. They may think that they're getting over. They may think that they're high and mighty. But look at God. In due time, God will cut them down like grass.
Amen. Dr. G.
Yeah, well, and the thing about it is nothing has changed since the beginning of time. You still got those that will lie and cheat and steal to get their way. Fast forward to where we are today. Here you got the former president and all of his little cronies still talking that same old stuff about how the election was stolen, this, that, the other. And, you know, I thought about it today. I said, now, if you think about what's going on now, it goes all the way back to the beginning when Satan tried to tempt Eve and lied on God. And from that point all the way up, that, you know, the lies are still being told. And even during Paul's day, you know, here you got the religious leaders, you got the political leaders, and like Sheila was saying, it's all about staying in power. And, you know, and I'm just sitting here saying, Lord, how much longer will you allow this to go on? Because it is just crazy.
Amen. People are easily manipulated because people, like I said, the whatever device you're on, they see what you're looking at, and then they feed you more of that. It's like you can't get away. Once it's like the drug. Once you take it, they keep feeding you that drug. Mm-hmm. If you feed the lie and say, yeah, both of y'all poor, but you white and poor. that means that even though you poor, you white, so you better off than poor. Both of y'all got nothing.
Next.
And so then it drives a wedge, you know, in between the black and the white, and you know, it doesn't stop there. It's even in the black community, you say, well, both of y'all poor, but at least you light skinned and poor. You're like, what? Yeah, you light skinned and poor, so you more likely to be the house Negro. Amen. Because you light-skinned, I'm going to leave that alone, Sheila G, light-skinned and poor and slave. And then, you know, it goes even further. Well, you might be poor, but at least you skinny and poor. You're not fat and poor. And it just, or crack me up when people used to talk about good hair and bad. Oh, you got good hair. Well, what is bad hair? When you go bald, when you got hair, all hair is good. But you talking about they got good hair. What's good hair? What's good hair and bad hair? You know, it's like, but it's always something to drive a wedge, to get people to act as if they don't love their brother or love their sister, and You see these people manipulate people. You see these programs manipulate people. You see pastors and political people manipulate people because, again, they want the power and they want the money. And so we're going to see how Festus takes his time at manipulating. So if you go back to verse 4, Acts chapter 25, verse 4, it says, Festus answered, Paul is being held at Caesarea, and I myself am going there soon. Let some of your leaders come with me, and if the man has done anything wrong, they can press charges against him there. And in other words, I'm not going to turn him over to y'all because I know what y'all going to do. Come on, let's go to Caesarea. And verse 6, and it wouldn't be politically advantageous for him to do that. So if we go to verse 6, Acts 25, verse 6, he says, after spending 8 or 10 days with them, Festus went down to Caesarea. The next day he convened the court and ordered that Paul be brought before him. Verse 7, it says, when Paul came in, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him. And here they go again. Mm-hmm. They brought many serious charges against him, but they could not prove them. In other words, they lied, but they couldn't prove the lie. it's like they're like these political and religious leaders now. If you look at some of these shenanigans that goes on in the Congress, the House of Representatives, or the Senate, these folks they lie like they're telling the truth. Anytime their lips are moving, they lie, but they don't care. They have no proof, but they're gonna lie anyway. And you get to a point where it's like, do they really believe this stuff? that they coming out of their mouth, but they lie, and so they lying on Paul, telling that he did this charge and this and that and that, and then like I said, you go back to the Wayback Machines and say, well, these people were, what you're saying is these people weren't the ones even in charge when this happened. So how are you gonna blame on these people when they weren't even in charge? And then when you call them on the carpet, then they won't cut you out, and even worse. And so they couldn't prove these things. And so then it was Paul's turn to speak. In verse 8, it says, then Paul made his defense. And he said, I have done nothing wrong against the Jewish law or against the temple or against Caesar. So he said, all of y'all tripping.
He's lying.
You know, all y'all tripping. I didn't do anything against the Jewish law. I didn't do anything against the temple. I didn't do anything against Caesar. So why are y'all tripping? You keep telling these lies, all y'all money-hungry, power-loving folk. I haven't done anything to you. I made specifically sure that I was clean, ceremonially clean. I was made sure that I was at the temple doing the right thing. I made sure, amen, that I didn't do anything against Caesar. And y'all keep bringing these lies because the word of God, the gospel, is making y'all look bad in front of these people that you keep manipulating. Sheila Jean.
That is called Holy Ghost boldness. That is called, and I've seen you do it, I've seen my husband do it, I've seen other pastors do it. When you stand before the Lord and you make a decision or you make a presentation that God has given to you about the church, and you are just telling it like it is, the honest truth about God, I'm not making up, I'm not trying to steal anybody's money, I'm not trying, but the Lord has told me that this is how he wants God's church to operate. And then people will either leave or come up against you. But you still have to, if you are a true pastor and truly been called, you stand on God's word, and God works it out. But it's not always comfortable. So, yes, Paul had the Holy Ghost boldness because he had the government and he had the Jewish people coming at him. So the flesh in him, you know, the flesh in him was like, Lord, here we go again. All I'm trying to do is the right thing, and these people are all up in my behind. But that Holy Ghost boldness allowed him to speak, and that's how you know about a powerful pastor that will stand on God's word and will say, I've heard you say it, I've heard my husband say it, that if you got a problem with this, you take it up with the Lord. But you all have had to stand on that rock and take the fiery darts in your flesh and in your emotions, but lean on that Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul is doing here. You see it, and you're like, wow. After all they've done, after all he's been through, he's been 2 years, they're coming with the same yin-yang, and he's still God's word, and he's still bold. And that's how we have to be. We got to be bold about that thing, even if we have to stand alone. And God will win that battle.
Amen. Dr. G, help me out here.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking about what you and Shield were saying, and the only way that we can do that, you know, number one, you've got that personal relationship that you have to have with the Lord, between you and the Lord. Then as time goes on, you've got to grow in your faith, in your belief, and trusting in what God will do and what God has already done. And you've got to mature as a Christian. But too often, folk want to give in because it's hard. And, you know, we tell folk all the time that, yes, it is hard, but, you know, remember when the Lord said, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. And God never promised that life was going to be easy. He let us know that you're going to have your ups, you're going to have your downs, but through it all, I'm with you all the way. And when you look at Paul and what he had to go through, really, you know, that's why Paul is one of my favorite characters in the Bible, because he stood. And, you know, and it's the Holy Ghost. And, again, you know, we've been sharing with people these last couple of weeks that if you allow the Holy Ghost in, it will do just what it's doing with Paul. But, you know, we can't just sit here 1 minute. You know, we love the Lord. We, you know, going to praise him. We're thanking him. But then as soon as trouble comes, you know, we want to get mad. We want to cuss God out. We want to turn our back.
And, you know, we want to take control of our emotions and we're going to handle it. Well, if we could have handled it, we would have done it a long time ago. But this is the whole thing that we have to understand, that by faith you stand the test and allow the Lord to work on your behalf.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That is in Scripture. And again, that comes from the benefit of studying the Scripture and letting the Holy Spirit minister to you. When you say Paul made his defense, he said, I have done nothing wrong against the Jewish law, against the temple, or against the, in other words, I'm standing before you innocent of all your charges. And he can make that bold statement. And that's the thing about being led by the Spirit, is the Spirit won't lead you wrong. And so you can stand and say these things. You can't stand and say these things with your hands full of blood or full of guilt. You have to stand in the righteousness of God and say, hey, look at the record and make sure that the record is clean. And so after he says that, here's the governor trying to make some money. What does he do? First thing he says, wishing to do the Jews a favor. It's like, come on, man, you the same corrupt joker just like they are, you know, and you see what you're up against. And this is what I want people to understand. This is what you're up against. You're up against folks in power that want to stay in power, that want to keep the money and the power. This is what you're up against. They know the truth. They know what they're peddling is a lie, but they want to stay in power. We mentioned earlier about a cable network that told people some lies, and come to find out, amen, that they knew it was lies. But the only reason they kept lying because of their stock price. They didn't want to lose their stock price. They want to stay in power. But that tells you how much they care about you. They don't care about you. They just care about you giving them money. They just care about staying in power. And people get manipulated by that and come up with these crazy lies and conspiracies, me against you, all because they don't take the time to realize this is what's been going on since the beginning of time. People have been using and abusing and manipulating you so they can stay in power and stay in money, and you just won't stop and realize that this really doesn't make sense. And, you know, we need to stop following behind this stuff because it ain't doing us no good. We're not getting no richer. We ain't getting no better. You know, it's like Dr. G, some of the ministers with the name it and claim it and take all your money. They got million-dollar homes and $100,000 cars. And they say, well, if you continue to give here, then you too can have, you know, million-dollar homes and $100,000 cars. And 20 years later, they still got million-dollar homes and $100,000 cars, and you still struggling. Come on, Doc. Come on, Doc. Help me out here, man.
You're right. And, I mean, it's a shame to say, but, you know, it's real. It's reality. And that's, again, if people would just wake up and get smart. You know, when I was growing up in our watched my mother when she had lost her sight, and, you know, listening to some of these radio preachers, and, you know, if you send me $10, I'll send you a prayer cloth for, you know, some of these other jokers, miracle water. And, I'm cynical. Look, if you want a prayer cloth, you don't have to give me a thing. I'll get a handkerchief and pray over and give it to you. And it sounds crazy, but they play on especially the elderly. You know, when they get older and they want healing, they want this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not real. That is a tool of the enemy, and he will sucker people in to what he wants.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Shoot, G.
Yeah. I remember that prayer cloth and the oil water that you send in the mail, and that's why you got to know him for yourself. It is a personal relationship, as if it's a personal relationship between your brother, your sister, your friend, your spouse. you have to get to know them so that you know what that person, what that expectation is, and why you're attracted to that. But you can't know them based off what somebody told you. You can't be with, you know, you and I, brother and sister, we grew up together. But somebody can't just come off the street and tell me that this is how the relationship between you and your brother if we never knew each other. But because we grew up together, we have that relationship. And that's why one of my scriptures in the Bible is about we have to push up against the word, that we cannot be conformed to this word but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to renew that mind every day or else Satan's going to creep up in there. And then you're going to have that fear. And that's why it's like the scripture about God doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, love, a sound mind, meaning that we have to tap into that part of the spirit instead of the fleshly part of fear and the fear of not being accepted or the fear of being different. No, if you call the Holy Spirit, you recognize and you're proud to be a peculiar people because he wants us to be set apart. But we got to renew that mind or else we'll get sucked in to any and everything that comes our way. And we as a church have to continue to tell people this thing is real. It's not a handkerchief. Yeah. It's not a thing of water. It's about your faith in God and your personal relationship with him. But you got to use the tools that he provides to us in order to grow in that relationship. And I think that's where the problem is. Everybody wants to do a little dab of do you. Okay, maybe I'll go to church for an hour. Maybe. Maybe I'll listen to gospel songs on the radio. Maybe. But as soon as you go into the store and somebody steps on your foot, you're ready to cuss them out because you have not established that relationship with God. And so you do get sucked in. It's like everybody wants easy street. That's about this whole pride and power in your feelings, satisfaction. So, okay, yeah, I'll send you $50 to send me a prayer cloth that I can hang over my chair or put up under my pillow, but I'm not going to go to church because that takes too much of an effort. So you want to try to buy God, kind of like what we're seeing here. You have to send their tithes to church, but won't step a foot in the church or do any type of worship. But again, trying to buy God. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't have the natural power and think that's going to get you into heaven. No, you have to commit your life wholly, your spirit, your mind, everything unto God.
Amen, amen. That's so true. When you look at Paul and all the things he going up against, he's standing his ground. And so if you go back to that Acts 25, verse 9, it says, Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there on these charges? It's like, you know, Festus knows that this isn't right. Festus knows. But because he wants to curry favor with the Jews, he makes this absurd offer. And people know stuff ain't right, but they do it anyway because of money. And so in verse 10, Paul answers, I'm now standing before you, Caesar's court. It's like, all of us are here right now, man. He said, where ought I to be tried? Have I not done anything wrong to the Jews, as you yourself know very well? In other words, why are we going through these motions? But then he goes on to say, if, however, I'm guilty of doing anything deserving death, I did not refuse to die. Paul said, I know that God has power over life and death. He said, I'm not afraid of that. But if the charges brought against me by these Jews are not true, no one has the right to hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. And so he puts Festus back on his heels because Festus knew better than to parade this daggone court to have to go before the Jews. Festus knew what was going on. Now Festus gets scared because he's appealing to Caesar, and he's like, oh, man, he done called me out. I know I shouldn't have did this. He starts stuttering. because he knew, and see, that's what money and power do to you. It'll cause you to do something that you know is not right, but you can't help yourself because of the money. And so Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, says, I haven't done anything worthy of death. I'm not, and if I did, I'm not afraid to die, but the charges against me are not true. And if it's not true, because I'm a Roman citizen, I can appeal to Caesar. And now Festus has to slow his roll. He goes in verse 12, and then he goes, after he had confirmed with his counsel, this is how these lawyers talk. we're going to have counsel, and he's calling us out on the carpet. So let us come together on a council. In other words, this is the cover-up trying to clean up.
Yeah.
Yep. He declared, you have appealed to Caesar you will go. So now Festus has cleverly worked the thing out. So now it's no longer in his court. He's like, okay, I appealed to y'all, went through the motions, made it look like I was trying to, you know, take him to you guys. But in actuality, I know I'm wrong. Y'all know I'm wrong. It's out of my hand. That's the cover up. And you see all these clowns and all these political and religious things try to do the cover up. Sort of like this lawyer down, I don't know what happened. He just got convicted by a jury of his peers for killing his wife and his kid. And the cover up. He had everything covered up, but he didn't know about the phone, video phone. He lied for almost 2 years, like, I wasn't there. I wasn't there, man. I wasn't there. So they played the video and Sheila G is like, well, what do you mean he wasn't there? Everybody that know you know your voice. And they said, that was you on it. He's like, it was me.
I was on drugs. No.
Really?
No, the good
But the cover-up is worse. The cover-up is worse. It's worse. The cover-up is worse. Yes. Gets you in trouble. The cover-up is worse than telling the truth.
Amen. And there's truly nothing new under the sun, because a perfect example of this was with this whole thing in Ohio with the toxic train that crashed, rail that crashed.
Yeah.
And all the people were saying, and then you had the Republicans were saying, oh, well, you know what, it's Biden, he should have been down there, and the FEMA needs to be down there, and they need to take care of this, and it's their fault. And even though it's a private company that crashed the train, but mm-hmm. So then Trump goes down there, and everybody's pointing fingers, and that they should have done something, and then Buttigieg, who is a former colonel, it made me think of Dad, is like, he mm-hmm. said when Trump was there, he stood up and he said, you know what, that's fine that President Trump came down there. And as a matter of fact, I think it would be great if he would go to Congress and ask them to pass a law, because part of the reason why this train crashed is because during his administration, they rolled back the regulations. So had they not back some of those regulations on this private company who was donating to their campaign, this accident wouldn't happen. So you know what? Come on. Yes, it's great that you came and brought some water bottles, but now you need to use your influence to change these regulations. Flip that thing right back on them. And if you notice, after that, they all got quiet. You didn't hear any more pointing fingers at Biden, pointing fingers at FEMA, pointing fingers at the EPA. They just shut up. These politicians just shut up and moved to the back. So now they're finally looking at the company. Now the Congress is going to try to introduce some kind of a bill to roll back the regulations. But it's the same type of thing where it's like, okay, you're going to come at me. You're going to show the shiny object. But you know what? I'm going to hit you with the truth. And when you hit through with the truth, which is like what Paul was saying, then they had to back off. Now, they didn't fess up. They didn't say, oh, you know what, you're right. We could have probably prevented this. No, they just shut it down. He just shut it down. And that's kind of what happened here with Felix. He's like, shut it down. Let's go to Caesar.
Exactly. It's like we conferred with our counsel. And you want to go to Caesar? Caesar, you'll go. But this is the move. This is the move. This is the ugly politics. This is the ugly religious operation. And if you never read the Bible, you wouldn't think that this, when you read this story, that this was going on back then. You would think this was a modern case for today.
Yeah.
It's like, you would think this is what's going on. This was happening in the year 2023. You would think that this is not a first century thing. You're thinking this is a 21st century thing. And,
right.
You know, that's why
right.
It's important to read and study that word, because the word is applicable to your everyday life. And by studying it and understanding it, it will help you deal with life. And I know we're about ready out of time. So we want to ask that question today. How has the Word of God helped you deal with life today? Even though it's centuries old, how has the Word of God, the unchanging Word of God, helped you deal with the changing world of today? So we're going to go to our first caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Well, for one thing, before I go any further, I just want to say congratulations to Pastor Gregory on his retirement.
Woo-hoo!
I'm glad for him. Wish him many, many blessed days in retirement. And the next thing I just want to say is God has not changed. God promises in the Bible has not changed. And so God is true to his word. What he tells us he's going to do, he is going to do. We have to trust and have the faith and believe in him. The Holy Spirit, he's not going to go against God's word. He's going to lead us and guide us. And if we trust him and pray and try to do what is right, then God is going to show us the right way. And so nothing has changed. God is the same. We, the people, have changed. And sometimes we think we know it all. With each generation, we just do it in a different way. But it's the same
right.
mess, the same sin. And
that's
so,
right.
so you know, the world is the same, you know. And so, like I said before, God's word is true. God promises has not changed. And God's word is going to be the same. It's going to be till go through eternity. It's what God said it's going to be. And God knows man. He knows man's heart. He knows the intention of man. So he created us and he made us. But praise God, he also made a plan to help us out, because, you know, we were pitiful people. So we thank God for the blessing. But truly, his word is true. And we have to ask him to help us to stay in his word and let the Holy Spirit guide us. Because when we begin to follow what we think, then we make mistakes. So we have to ask God to lead us and help us to do that, which is right and pleasing, not according to what I think is right, but according to what the Holy Spirit says right.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 4580. 4580, good evening.
Good evening to all. I have thoroughly enjoyed the discussion. And because we are children of God, he has blessed us, like given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And the good thing about it all is we have a thirst for his word. And the more that we study it, we begin to really appreciate how fortunate we are for having believed in Jesus Christ and believed that he's the Son of God, and to receive this Holy Spirit. We are part of the triune God system with the Holy Spirit within. And we can rest assured that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. and he will not change. When he speaks it, amen, he keeps his promise. He is a promise keeper, and we can count on it. So disbelieve, study his word, and get to reach the point that you can begin to connect all makes sense. And in Revelation, and from Genesis to Revelation, you get a better picture of his final purpose for our lives, that is to meet him in heaven one day. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller, last four digits, 7611. 7611, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for us this day. I said I have been going through some trials and tribulations, and I fell off the bandwagon and getting back on the drive and getting on the road again and stay on the track. I get in the mind and get off of God's back. And I think to myself that you stop holding, that you hold on to God, and then if this is his world and he knows what's going on before he goes. And I change myself, and I get mad and angry and to myself, but I'm trying to get back on the wagon and get straightened out. And I got it going, but I just haven't turned it loose. But I'm still with Lord, and I know he's going to, whatever I'm going through, he's going to straighten it out for me, whatever it is. I'm going to pray and keep on praying and stay on my knees every day. I'm so thankful that I'm still kicking, and not too high, but I'm still kicking. Amen.
Amen. That's all right. Thank you for your testimony this evening. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1411. 1411, good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Definitely God remains my one constant. I look back over my life, and when I was a kid, I had a different perception of the world. I had a different perception of God. You know, when you're a kid, you're growing up, you're learning all the biblical stories, but really hadn't gone through life and experienced much to really apply and know how important the word of God is. So for me, as I got older, my perception of the world changed, my perception of God changed. And then when I actually got out into the world, that's when I realized, you know, that the world's in trouble, you know, and I'm going to be honest. And it seems like every year they're getting further and further away from the word of God, which is true. And I've also learned that, you know, I can't do it or survive this world without God. So much temptation, so many attacks. And again, we're not even talking about attacks from the enemy, but you get attacked by family, friends, blindsided, and you're just like, what's my fallback? Where do I go to? And I had to learn that I've got to stay true to God's word, because it's the only thing that's going to be able to sustain me in this crazy world. But also, as we talked about, you know, a couple Sundays ago, you know, being a student of the game, studying the word and knowing how to utilize the tools and resources that God gives us to survive. Because if you think you can get out here and survive this world with everything going on without God, you know, you're surely mistaken, and you're basically willing to put your soul on the line and bank on yourself, and you can't do that. So it's tough, because every day is different, every journey is different, every position of adversity is different, but the one constant remains is you got to turn it over to God. And it's going to require you to grow. It's going to require you to be pushed. And it's going to require you to jump back in the word, not just jumping in when things get hectic or crazy. But it's like you got to be consistently in that word no matter what's going on in your life. And then it becomes a little easier to navigate. Yes, there still will be storms, but you'll learn how to navigate it. You'll learn how to handle it and address it. But, you know, unfortunately, I think right now the world is going in the wrong direction. So even now, more so than ever, especially in my life, I've been around 42 years, I need God more than ever. I'm watching the news. I'm seeing what's going on in social media. Just found out somebody I knew work-related in the city of College Park, the mayor just got busted for child pornography distribution. We've known this guy for 10, 15-something years, and my friend calls me, and he's like, look, did you know? Had no idea. Nicest person in the world, but you never know who these people are behind closed doors. But it's just like, man, what is this world coming to, you know? And it's unfortunate, but, you know, I've just found that I need God. I can't do it without him. Yes, there are going to be days I don't understand what he's doing, why he's doing it, the timing of God. But it's just like, you know what, God, we've been here before, maybe a different situation, but I know you're going to work it out. I know there's something in here for me to be better and to grow. But God is my one consistent every Wednesday, every Thursday, every early Sunday morning,
Amen.
Every Sunday
Amen.
Service. God
Amen.
Is my consistent. Look, being more in tune with the music. I was sharing with Sister Gregory, the songs start to click a little more. It's not just music and notes.
Yeah.
It's like the words start to resonate. So now when I play, that energy and that feeling is being put out there in the song. I'm not just playing a song. I'm living it. I'm showing it. The words have meaning. But I would have missed all of that had I not started to take this journey serious. I would have missed all of that if I wasn't taking notes during Sunday school or taking notes during Bible study or prayer service or during the sermon when it's preached on Sunday morning. I would have missed all of that had I not started to take this journey seriously. And I think as Christians, that's what we got to do, because understand this. Your life is at stake. Your soul is at stake. And if the goal is to get to heaven, you're getting further away from the goal. We got to get back to the basics. All that other stuff is extra. It's cool. It's fine. But you can't elevate until you get the foundation together. You can't elevate until you get the basics down pat. And we are struggling with that, and we lack consistency. But, again, I need God more than ever. And I think the more that I participate, engage, and learn, it becomes truer, and it becomes easy for me to now apply God to my daily walk and my daily life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller, last four digits, 8760. 8760, good evening.
Good evening. The Word of God has made me so strong. I look at my life before I started walking on this journey, and I see how fleshly I was, how fleshly I reacted to things. And now that I have taken my journey more serious and I've gotten in my word more and, you know, I'm applying to my life more, you know, I'm making sure that I'm, you know, having an intimate relationship with the Lord. It's like now, it's like I could feel my flesh chipping away little by little. And it's like the more I read his word, the more I believe it, because the more that adversity hits me and I begin, you know, I tell myself, okay, well, for example, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I understand it so much more now, and it just makes my flesh chip away more and more. And it's like, I want more of God. I want more of him. So his word is the truth, and I will continue living by his word.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this evening. Comment. We're going to go to our next call. Last four digits, 7971. 7971. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. I'll say this, longevity has its privileges when God has allowed you to live so many years like he has allowed me, and you have lived or you've tried to live the life of Christ. It allows you to have a personal relationship with God, and by having that relationship, it teaches you that God's word does not change. The world's going to change. It's going to change in all kind of different ways. Your personal life is going to change. But your relationship with God will never change if you're true to his word, if you live the life of Christ, and you've had the opportunity to receive the blessings and the promises of God. And everybody does not allow the Holy Spirit to operate in that spiritual walk where they can see the difference in the world and God's word. If you know anything about God, you know he loves you. And you know he died on that cross. Those things will never change. People change. And that's why God has allowed them to come back, and he forgives them of that. That's why God's word is mighty and powerful. There is powerful power in the name of the Lord. And when you work hard towards your personal relationship with God, that's an assurance that no matter how the world changes, what goes on in this world today, never allow it to affect your relationship with God. You have something to hold on to regards to what goes on in the church, in your personal life, or around you on the job. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to God. Why? Because it's not like the president that never told a lie. He's for real. And he has shown you over and over as the years go by, as the days go by, as the minutes, the hours go by, that his word is truth. His word you can trust in. You have the faith to believe it. Just stick around long enough and live the life of Christ and receive it, because his Holy Spirit is in you. That's the comforter that he gave you. And I don't care what's going on out here in this world. It's some crazy folk out here now. It's some ridiculous things going on in this world today. But God's word still stands. It's up to us to live the life of Christ and not let the world influence us in any way. In any way. That's the difference in the changing world and God's word. There is no comparison. No comparison. The church is in you. It lies in you. And so you should never, never even fathom to give that a thought. You just have to look at and make the comparison. My God is an awesome God. He reigns. Yes, he does. So if you think that God's word is going to change, your thinking is stinking thinking, as the old expression goes. You don't even think like that. But it takes time and longevity to get that in your spirit, and that you know that you know that you know who he is, what he is, and how wonderful your life is with him, as to follow the world. The world will lead you wrong every time. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. I've had friends to walk away from me. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. Thank you. You'll be back. You will be back. I grant you that. So it's where you stand with your Heavenly Father, and it's the life you live and your journey and your spiritual walk that lets you know that what's out there in the world separates you, will separate you from God if you allow it. But there's no comparison. None. Not ever. Not ever. Don't even think about it. Don't even put it in your spirit to even think about it, who God is and what he means to you in your personal relationship with God. That's how I look at it. That's the walk I try to live each and every day of my life, regardless of what goes on, how bad the situation might look or might feel. I know that my God is with me always. Always.
Amen.
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 All right. Thank you for your testimony. I'm going to go back to Dr. G. Dr. G, thank you for all of those years you put in for us. I don't know if you have some final comments and close out with prayer.
Well, we thank God that we were able to be used by him. And, you know, as I was sitting there listening to the callers, you know, as each one has pretty much has said, you know, the word doesn't change. We have to change. And I heard one caller say, you know, we are the ones that are in need of God in our lives. God really does not need us. He's been sent down to help us. And if we could ever get that through our minds and understand it, we would be so much of a better people. Let us bow our heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just one more evening that we've been able to get into your word. Father, we thank you for reminding us just how important that word is and how it doesn't change. Father, we pray now that as we leave this phone call, Lord, that we will take what we've learned tonight. Oh, God, we thank you for being a constant in our lives. Lord, I thank you for all of the years that you have been with me, that you've helped me to stand the test of time. Father, I give you all glory, and I thank you. Father, we ask these and all other blessings and favors in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Hopefully we'll see you all next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.